Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. Several years ago, we had the best-selling author and award-winning documentary filmmaker Sebastian Junger on the program. Great interview. One of the things that Sebastian talks about and shares a concern about is, what do we do with our warriors when they come back from war? What does it take to reintegrate warriors into our society? He's done some research. He talks about Native American tribes and how they recognized that warriors had seen things that other members of the tribe hadn't, and they were considered too unclean to join the tribe when they came back from war, and therefore they used a process the entire tribe had to engage in order to make sure these warriors could be safely integrated back into the tribe. Now, we as civilians, we're the ones that send our military overseas off to war. We, as civilians, therefore bear the responsibility to reintegrate these warriors back into our society when that time has come. I don't believe we do a good job of that as a nation. That's part of the main reason that American Warrior Radio exists. Last week, I had the great honor of being invited to observe a ribbon cutting here in southern Arizona. When I left that event and went on to my afternoon meetings, I literally felt like I had passed from one world into another. Let me read some quotes here for you. Army Med has been trying for 10 years to fix what Warrior Path figured out how to do in 5 days. Granted, now I have to do maintenance, but I am fairly certain that in 5 days is quite a bit less than 10 years. And another, I have nothing in my life to compare Warrior Path to. It's going to take coming days, weeks, and months for me to truly be able to tell how effective this has been. I desperately want to be able to tell you this has been 110% effective, but I don't want to embellish or exaggerate. I do know that my life and my family's life has been forever changed, both for the extreme positive and a more calm neutral. That alone is more than I could ever have asked for from anyone. My promise to you is this. I will do whatever I can to make this effective to ensure that what I have learned here is not a perishable skill, but a lifestyle change. Healing heroes one family at a time. That's their mission statement, and they're dedicated to improving the emotional, physical, spiritual, and financial well-being of their participants. They're dedicated to combat veterans and their family members, Gold Star families, and first responders and their families. Joining us today is the Director of Strategy for Boulder Crest Retreat, Josh Goldberg. Josh, sorry for the long intro, but I haven't been this excited about something in a long time. Welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your kind words and your support.
They're not my words. They're the words of folks that have gone through your programming and are grateful for it.
True. Yeah, absolutely. And it actually gives me goosebumps when I hear the words and feel very privileged to have the opportunity to play a part in people's lives and for our team to get to do that. So it's a great privilege that we have to get to ensure that our combat veterans get to come all the way home.
And Josh, thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us today. Let's start a little bit about you. Now, Josh, you are not a member. Did you ever serve in the military?
I did not.
Okay. Very, very interesting. The reason I bring that up is you, as I understand it, led Boulder Crest efforts to develop the first comprehensive, and I want to emphasize, non-clinical curriculum for post-traumatic growth. Tell us how you went from the corporate world to the passion for helping folks suffering from PTSD.
Absolutely. So I grew up in Dallas, Texas. I went and got a college degree in 2001 from Tufts, and I went to work at two large companies, one in tobacco and the other was in oil at ExxonMobil. And I did that, and I did it very well for 12 or 13 years, and I was married, and I had a very kind of successful civilian life by many standards. And I started to experience some quakes and some trembles in my own life and started to reflect on the life that I had created for myself. And as I did that more and more deeply, what I came to realize is that I had really created a very false existence and one that was unrecognizable to the deepest parts of myself. And, of course, that recognition was both heartening and incredibly frightening. And I left my job. I got divorced. I changed a lot of things in my life that allowed me to feel in many ways liberated. And at the same time, while I knew what I no longer wanted to do, I had no idea how to pursue and understand where I wanted to go. And it was in that kind of that cross section, that intersection, that I had one instinct. And the instinct was I should help somebody else. I should do something for somebody else that for so long I had just worried about myself. And And randomly, I was in Los Angeles at a dinner with my brother, and he brought a friend, and she asked me if I would meet with a couple in Dallas who were trying to figure out how to make sense of the loss of her brother. And I went and met with them, and that was my first interaction. That was in 2011 with the military and veteran crowd and with the challenges of coming home from war and of experiencing war. And as I got further and further into it, I found myself sort of overwhelmed by the strength and the sincerity and the integrity of our military and veteran population. And as I always tell people, I saw in them the characteristics I was always taught to have and that were important, that they actually understood what loyalty and brotherhood and teamwork and selfless service really meant. And so I actually had the chance to go through a program with a group of 8 combat veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. And by the end of it, I had this epiphany moment, and it just said, you know, this is what you're here for. And I realized that if my life was going to be of value, it was going to be to ensure that these remarkable, remarkable men and women had the chance to live great lives at home. And if I did that, then our society and many of the things that ail our society would be addressed. And that was the best way I could serve. And so that was a journey that led me to the doorstep of Ken Falk and Julia Falk, our founders. And kind of the rest of the story has been an amazing journey indeed.
Wow, Josh, I can see why Ken wanted you to be the one that came on American Warrior Radio to talk about this. The passion comes through in your voice. Let's talk about Boulder Crest Retreat. Hopefully I'll get that right before the end of the program. Boulder Crest. It's not my first language, so I hope you'll be patient with me, Josh. Boulder Crest began, as I understand it, back in 2013. Ken tells an interesting story of interaction with his wife, about how this whole thing got off the, got out of the blocks here. Tell us, share that story with us if you would.
Sure. So Ken Falk, was a Navy bomb disposal, technician, which is the people seeing Hurt Locker. It's that kind of guy. He did that for 21 years and 9 months and retired in 2002 because he was asked to sit at his desk and not go to war, and he couldn't abide that. Ken started a company, that focused on counter bomb work in Iraq and Afghanistan and also stateside. And in 04, he got a call from a friend of his in Iraq, and a young man in the guy's unit had lost his legs to a roadside bomb. And he asked Ken to go to the hospital. So he did. And he finds this kid all alone in his room. And he says, you know, where's your family? And the kid says, well, I got no dad and my mom can't afford to be here. And the Department of Defense didn't pay at that time for the families to come up. And Ken said, well, we'll fix that. So he did that. And I think they did it about 10 more times over the next couple years. And Ken had been around for Gulf War I and thought the war would be short, and obviously that's not the case. And so him and Julia, they started a foundation to support bomb disposal technicians, the EOD Warrior Foundation, and continued to go to the hospitals, meet families, meet wounded service members, and provide whatever support that they needed, rental cars, kenneling fees, travel, and any other kind of support that they required. And as they got to know these families, they began to bring them out to the house they had bought in the Blue Ridge Mountains here in Virginia, and get to know the families. And they saw that being in nature and being away from the hostile environment had an incredibly powerful effect and very just an incredible way of re-energizing these folks. And so to fast forward, 2008, Ken sells his company. 2010, he's at Georgetown getting a master's in public policy. And each day, either at the beginning or the end of the day, because of where Georgetown's located and Walter Reed was, he's visiting service members. And in 2010 and 2011 in Afghanistan, there was 71 bomb disposal technicians who were severely injured. And this is blinded, burned, or amputees, including triple and quadruple amputees. And it was the worst year. And so he came home one night from those visits, and his wife, Julia, had been intimately involved in the hosting and the visiting. And she was sitting at a table with her friend with, I believe the legend is now up to 3 bottles of wine. I'm not sure the actual number.
That's what I heard, but, 3, yeah.
Yeah, so he said 3, and there's 3 bottles of wine. And she says to him at the end of this long day, hey, Kenny, can you come over here? We want to talk to you about something. And he said, no, I'm going to go to bed. And she said, no, you really need to come over here. And so he walked over, and they had a drawing. And their property, their house, is on the side of this mountain, and they also owned a flat land of pasture that was about 37 acres. And what they had drawn was 2 cabins on this property. And what Julia said to him is, she said, you know, when people are in our house, they are still guests. And what this community deserves is a place where they can reconnect and rest in a sacred place, but also a place where they can feel like they're home. And that really initiated that. And that was 2010, 2011, after Ken did a lot of due diligence, went to the county thinking it was going to take forever and a day to get the land rezoned. Turned out it was a retired Air Force colonel. He says, we'll get this done, and we'll get it done quickly. So that happens. May of 2012, we break ground. In September of 2013, we open. And it all happened very, very quickly. And the part I'm always keen to stress is it was organic. I mean, what Ken and Julia did and what they've always done is to recognize a need and to basically say, if we don't do this, then who will? And so they step up and they did that. And the journey to Warrior Path, and we can talk about that more, was another organic journey of, you know, when we started in 2013, we opened on September 6th. And the main goal, the main vision was twofold. The first was to continue what we call family rest and reconnection. And that was those programs that allowed people to get away from their normal surroundings and come to a place that was quiet and peaceful and beautiful and simply spend quality time together. Whether that's because people have been in the hospital, on long deployments, separation, they just need a break, but to provide that. And all of our services are provided at no cost to combat veterans and their families.
Right. I tell you, Josh, let me interrupt you there. We've got to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll get into more of that. And I want to start off with the challenge because, ladies and gentlemen, since September 11th, 2.7 million men and women have been deployed to war. Think about that. That would be like if the entire city of Chicago went to war. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're very pleased to have us joining via telephone, Josh Goldberg. Josh is the Director of Strategy for the Boulder Crest Retreat. Now, for those of you listening on the East Coast, their original facility is out in Virginia, a wonderful facility, very, and I want to emphasize, effective programs, not just good programs, but effective programs. For those of you here on the West Coast, Southern Arizona, they just literally cut the ribbon on a brand new facility, kind of brand new. Actually, it's quite an old facility, isn't it, Josh? Here in Southern Arizona, beautiful ranch called Apache Springs, just south of Tucson. Josh, welcome back. Before I introduce your programs, I want to talk real briefly. We've got about 7 minutes before the next break about the challenge, the reason. I sort of teased the listeners before we went to the break that, you know, literally we've been in a shooting war, well, the longest shooting war that our nation's been engaged in its history. The challenge that that presents is huge. And that's part of the reason I understand it that Boulder Crest exists and the reason you have the curriculum that you're offering. Is that a good Reader's Digest version?
Absolutely. And I think we have a challenge and we have an opportunity. I mean, as you said, we have never in the history of our country asked so much of so few for so long. And I think in terms of the all-volunteer force, asking people who volunteered to do so many multiple tours and time away from home and experience war, I think has been an incredible challenge and an incredible burden placed at the feet of both combat veterans as well as their family members. And I think at the same time, what really drives us is, and what we will tell every person who crosses the threshold and walks into our properties in Arizona and Virginia is these are not monuments to your service. We did not build this simply to say thank you. We built these places. We created these programs because what we know and what history teaches us is that nobody's more powerful than a combat veteran. And we have a quote inscripted in our garden in Virginia and soon in Arizona from Thucydides from 600 or 400 BCE, who was an Athenian general and a father of war history. And he said, we must remember that one man is much the same as another and that he is best who is trained in the severest school. And so our vision, our efforts are designed not simply to ensure that combat veterans can cope or deal with the aftermath of the experiences of war and their families. It's that they can thrive at home and that they can unleash that incredible power that we saw in the aftermath of World War II. And we've seen time and again in every legendary story about a warrior is that they come home and they have the opportunity to make peace with their experiences so that they can bring their strength and their integrity and their leadership to our communities. Because that's so much of what we need is we need their sturdiness and their leadership. And I look at Secretary Mattis as a wonderful example of a warrior who understands the cost of war and also understands what strength looks like. And I think we have some great examples these days of folks like that, including Arizona's own John McCain, who've been through incredibly challenging experiences and used those to create lives of service and dedication to others. And so that's really our focus. But to your point about the challenge, and we have to be really aware of this, You know, 2.7 million people have deployed many multiple times. And the estimates are that about 700,000 of that 2.7 million are struggling with either post-traumatic stress disorder or combat stress, which is essentially PTSD, but undiagnosed by a mental health professional. And what we know is that our system and our approaches using traditional mental health approaches of primarily medicine and talk therapy aren't getting it done. And we know that because of the suicide epidemic that goes from bad to worse and is at 20 a day now. And that doesn't include all the stuff we don't know about. And we know that the dropout rate of treatment is 80%. And so that those numbers drive us because our fear, our concern, our fact that we won't abide is that veterans come home from war and are told that they are destined to live a diminished life. Mm-hmm. And a life that is the result of being broken by war. And we know that's not true.
Josh, I got to tell you, I've got a client that actually is opening a facility just north of your new facility here in southern Arizona. And they would hire veterans every day of the week. They're capable. They're disciplined. They understand the rank structure. I mean, these are assets for our nation and for our communities. And I hate the word broken. I hate disabled. You know, we had a quadruple amputee on the show, and he says, I'm not a wounded warrior. I'm a recalibrated warrior. And what I love about what you guys do is, well, two things. One, the non-clinical. I think that's absolutely huge. We're not talking pills here, and it's very effective. But also the idea that you've got programs that integrate and also help the families. The combat, the PTSD is, I think on your website it says that's infectious across the family unit.
It is, and you know, when we talk about kind of the population that's in need, we say that it's 2.1 million. So 700,000 times the average American family size of three is 2.1 million. And when you see the looks, you know, we do a family path program as well, and we're building our curriculum for that now. And you see the disconnection, not just disconnection with self, but disconnection in the family and the kids hurting and it hurts. And at the same time, like, you know, I'm fortunate, obviously, that we're in a place where we actually can address that and help that. But that can't be overstated, because in the special forces community alone, the divorce rate's estimated to be somewhere about 90%.
Oh my gosh.
And so you have a lot of challenges that are associated with that. And so you've got higher divorce rates, and you've got higher rates of other challenges within those families. And I think that, you know, from our perspective, the non-clinical, the privately funded, the reason we do that is because we know that what our traditional stuff that we do for this ain't working. And for us, it's like, okay, what's working? And we've created a space where we get to have a chance to have honest conversations and with spouses, with caregivers, with severely injured guys, with guys struggling with the mental side, that with kids. And you get to understand what are they seeking and what's going on. And you get to put something in place that actually allows them to get there. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I feel so blessed as a civilian who has that perspective to be amongst the community of combat veterans, because it is the finest group of people. It is true blue people who have values and principles and integrity, and it's changed my life. And so I always feel like I'm a walking example of why their power is so true. It's because, you know, they've changed my life. They saved my life.
Josh, when we come back, I want to get into some of the details of those programs. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, feel free to give us a call. Josh is available to chat with you. I know in southern Arizona, we've got the largest military installation in the state right here in Tucson. We've got Fort Huachuca. We've got folks listening all around the country. What a great opportunity. Give us a call, 520-751-1041, to talk with Josh. Josh, the other thing, too, I want to emphasize to the listeners, you offer your programs not just to military members and veterans, but first responders as well. Again, folks, give us a call, 751-1041. You can find out more, visit bouldercrestretreat.org. Stick around. We'll be right back in a few seconds. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined live on the phone by Josh Goldberg. Josh is the Director of Strategy for the Boulder Crest Retreat. They just opened a second facility. Now they're serving both coasts here in the United States. And what an amazing program. Ladies and gentlemen, please, if you're listening now, you call your friends up, tell them to tune in, or tell them to visit AmericanWarriorRadio.com to pick up the podcast. Let me share some data with you. Boulder Crest programs for PTSD have shown a 40-60% sustained reduction in PTSD symptoms, a 50% reduction in depression, and that's just the start. Josh, let's talk a little bit about the individual programs, if you don't mind. And again, I want to emphasize these programs are available to first responders as well, not just veterans, correct?
That is correct.
I'm glad you say that. We do have first responders on American Warrior Radio as well quite a bit, and the stress that they might encounter just day to day here on the home front, certainly causes these sorts of situations or could cause these sorts of situations as well. Now, Josh, as I understand it, you are critical in actually developing this curriculum, and it's non-clinical. I love the fact about that. And for those of you who are not experts out there, that means no pills. Let's start with, if you don't mind, Josh, let's start with Warrior Path itself. Tell us about that, because if I understand correctly, that's sort of the core of what you all do.
Yeah, and Warrior Path is our signature program at the moment. And just for a little bit of context, we really have two kind of sides of the house. We do Family Rest and Reconnection, which I'm happy to talk more about. And then we run our PATH programs. And PATH stands for Progressive and Alternative Training for Healing Heroes. And we do those for individual combat veterans, plus first responders, couples, families, and caregivers. And so the Warrior Path is really the first one we focused on in terms of the development of the curriculum. And we started that in May of 2014 and evolved it and worked on it, worked in partnership with two leading psychologists. And then in January of 2016, I began the effort of formally documenting the curriculum, which includes an instructor guide, a student guide, a train-the-trainer program, and robust evaluation so that we could scale and replicate it to more people. And what Warrior Path is, it's an 18-month program. It begins with a 7-day initiation on one of our sites in Virginia or Arizona. And it focuses on and is built on the decades-old science of something called post-traumatic growth. And what post-traumatic growth is, in essence, is the school of thought that suggests that times of deep struggle and even suffering can be the fuel and the gateway to a life that's even better than it's ever been. And certainly that's the story of the Bible and a lot of other stories of religion. But it's also the story of some folks that we really look up to and admire, including the POWs from the Hanoi Hilton who returned home with only 4% of them having PTSD. And so what we do is we use a military training style approach. Our team is about 6 to 8 at a time in terms of delivery, and it's a 1-to-1 ratio. And our team is primarily combat veterans who are trained, who are well, who have gone through their own journey. One therapist is on the team who's gone through their own journey. And then a couple of civilians like myself who bring in that experience to bear. And what we share in common is we've all suffered deeply. We've all struggled. I've been suicidal. And we use our story and our experience to drive folks and to train folks to a place where they can take the struggle they've had and use it to create strength and growth and to sustain it. And I think there's a few things that make it different. I think philosophically is the idea that it's growth-based, that it's based in post-traumatic growth is one. I think the second is the caliber and the nature of our team and the sort of that approach. The third is that it's a training-based approach as opposed to a treatment approach. Mm-hmm. We're training people, which means we're building capacity. And the fourth is that it's part of this evaluated curriculum effort. And as you mentioned, I think the statistic I'm probably most proud of is that the remission rate in the mental health system for post-traumatic stress disorder is 2%. So about 2% of people who go in to get treatment will lose their diagnosis. And in Warrior Path, it's 84%.
Wow.
And so when what that means is somebody no longer has that albatross around their neck or that sort of Damocles of saying, you are messed up and you have a diagnosis to prove it. And we don't use medicine. We use training. We use meditation. We use nature. We use, you know, conversation, we use bonfires, and a range of other kind of traditional warrior techniques. And you mentioned Sebastian Junger, and for thousands of years, cultures have understood what needs to happen when warriors come home. And I think we've just misplaced all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of ways, we bring in that warrior culture into the program, and it's very intensive. It's 74.5 hours over 6-7 days. And we have a group of 6 women going through the program right now here in Virginia. And it's incredibly effective, and we're working towards scale and replication to other places.
Folks, again, check out bouldercrestretreat.org. You can find out more information about their programs and how you or someone you know, a family member are looking for some help, I'd highly recommend this program. Josh, I tell you a couple of things. I love the fact that this is designed by combat veterans for combat veterans. You're not somebody who's never been there, done that, you know, sitting there and preaching, you know, and telling you what you should do or how you should feel. I also love the fact that it strikes me, after hearing Ken speak at the ribbon cutting and in preparing for the show, a lot of your goal is not only to save lives, but it's the word purpose keeps coming back again and again, giving people purpose again, making sure that they're, and I use the phrase, you know, recalibrated warrior. So in effect, you are training these folks to, for the rest of their life. Is that too big of a claim or?
No, not at all. And we do, we view that, we say that this is training for life, and it's training because, you know, the more struggle will come into their lives, more challenge will arrive. It's just inevitable in all of our lives. And so the idea is to train these folks to be warriors at home. And Ken said it since day one, since I first met him. And he said that his vision is to ensure that combat veterans can come home and be the productive member of society that they were on the battlefield. And that's the idea. And so we are very explicit. We use the term warrior, as do you, because we think a warrior is a permanent title. A veteran describes something you used to do, and it's not to take anything away from it, but we believe that we need our warriors to come home from battle and to get what they require, get the training they need so they can apply their skills at home. And I think that new sense of obligation and responsibility is really important. That sense of purpose, when you've had it and you lose it, it's very dangerous. And I think reinstilling that sense of purpose and that sense of tribe are two of the things, and that we focus on, and it's one of the reasons why we do all of our stuff as groups. So it's always group programs, and the reason why is it's like, you know, combat veterans aren't used to having, you know, being sole, sitting in an office with somebody talking to them one on one, right? It's a group activity, and they support each other, and I think we mirror that and we mimic it, and we borrow from the best of military training doctrine, and hell, I mean, the military is the greatest training institution in the history of the world, and my outsider's observation, and so we borrow from a lot of that because I think that's what's required.
You know, it's interesting. Ken also mentioned at the ribbon cutting, he said, and he's one of these guys, when he speaks, I mean, it comes through in his voice and his face. He says, look, I never wanted us to be a catch and release program. These warriors come and they attend the intensive program at one of your facilities, but then you stick with them, right? I mean, you've got a 6 months of success program. You're still working with them. You're still available. You're still a resource. You're still a support group for at least six more months.
Well, and so in the nature, when I say 18 months, so it's 7 days of intensive training, 6:30 in the morning to 8:30 at night. And then, for example, for the next 14 weeks, there'll be a weekly call they do every week together. We'll join every month. They'll have 4 individual coaching sessions. They'll use the student guide, which is 320-page accompaniment to the program they go through, and they'll work through different chapters of the guide, reviewing the things that they experience. So, you know, the program happens at full speed, at combat speed. The training is designed to go to half speed and really allow them to internalize and understand it. And then what we're building now with Accenture, the technology consulting company, is an app called MyPath. And the design is, it's not just 7 days of training and then handholding for 18 months. It is 78 weeks of training that allows them to continue to deepen their understanding about themselves, about the world, about post-traumatic growth, because ultimately our vision is that they're going to go out into the world and they're going to serve other people and they're going to help other people. And that starts with themselves. It then goes to their family and their tribe, the people they attend the program with, and then it goes to their community, and it could go as far to their serving their country in a macro sense again. So it's, our programs are designed to be sustained, and Ken said it from the beginning. And he said, I will not take people's money and allow people to just come on a good trip where they come in, they feel better for a week, and then they go home and go back to everything that they left and return back to baseline. We can't do that. We can't take people's money to do that. And it's not fair to the people we're trying to work with. And so we committed to sustained transformation. And that's why we track this. That's why we have 2 doctors doing this evaluation for us, because you know, our results are good and they need to be better, and they will always need to be better. We can never, you know, until those symptoms are at 100% and all the rest of it, you know, we're going to continue to work on this. And I think part of that is, you know, we talked about my backstory of the business side of things and Ken's backstory doing both EOD and his business side is a very strong focus on looking at the processes and making sure this thing is impeccable. And that's what we're committed to doing. And I think that's why it works well, because that's what we're seeking. That's our goal.
Josh, we've got about 45 seconds to the next break. Speaking of money, you know, I got to pay for the show. But let's real quick, you talk about money. Who pays for this?
We're entirely privately funded, and our donations are really in three sources. One is through community events, and in Arizona, we just did one. We'll do more community events that allow people to engage and take part, and in Virginia as well, and that's about a third of our budget. Another third comes from companies and foundations in the form of grants, and then a third comes in incredible generosity of wealthy benefactors and philanthropists. The Clark Foundation, which is the construction family out of Virginia, donated $10 million to make Arizona possible, which is an incredible grant. The Bernie Marcus Foundation has been incredibly generous funding our curriculum, while the Annenberg Foundation in California. So it's those three areas, and it's what we do together. I mean, these things really are, the Arizona facility is about the community. It's about what we as a community come together to do to honor our veterans and ensure they can live great lives. And so it's all privately funded, and everything's delivered free of charge to the people who come to our retreats.
There you go, folks. Visit BoulderCrestRetreat.org. $10 million or $10, you can make the difference in the life of somebody who risked their life to protect what you and your family are enjoying today. Stick around. We'll be right back with more from Josh Goldberg, the Director of Strategy for Boulder Crest Retreat. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're chatting with Josh Goldberg. He's the Director of Strategy for Boulder Crest Retreat. They've got now two facilities in the United States, the original in Virginia and a brand new facility here at Apache Springs in southern Arizona. Josh, welcome back. We've been talking about, and I want to emphasize again, folks, visit BoulderCrestRetreat.org. These amazing programs that you're offering to warriors, both military and first responders and their families, are free of charge to the participants, correct?
That is correct.
Now, do they have to get themselves, I mean, Virginia to Arizona, there's a big gap in between. Are they responsible for their own travel, or are you soup to nuts, it's covered?
So we have a family rest and reconnection program where families can stay for 2 to 7 nights. Staying is free, but for those, it's essentially like renting a condo. So they have to get there on their own and then get their own food. For the PATH programs, Warrior PATH, Family PATH, Couples PATH, Caregiver PATH, everything is covered. All the travel, food, and everything else is covered.
Wow, that's amazing. How many people have been through the program since you all got started?
It was amazing when Ken said the other day, we've had over 3,000 people come through Boulder Crest Retreat, Virginia, and we can serve about 700 people per year at each site. And so, and again, this focus on kind of an inch wide and a mile deep and kind of sustained transformation is really our focus. But it has been an amazing journey to think it's been over 3,000 lives touched already, and then we'll continue to go strong.
But, you know, that's congratulations. That's wonderful. From 3,000 to 2.1 million is still a jump. How do you know? I see our role as helping get the word out there, but how do folks get in line? How do they get in the rotation? Do they go to your website? Is there an application? What's the logistics of getting involved?
And I want to address two things, because on that question, if you're interested in a program, come to info@ Boulder, that's BOULDER, crestretreat.org, info@bouldercrestretreat.org, and just let us know that you're interested in the program and what you're interested in. The Family Stay program is a first-come, first-serve. We use kind of a bed-and-breakfast hotel-style booking engine, so you just come on, and instead of paying money, you provide proof of either that you're a first responder or a veteran, a DD-214, and you can stay. And again, we serve combat veterans from any generation. We've had them all the way back to World War II. And we're not a hard line on that, but that means anyone who deployed to a combat zone or fought in combat and deployed, as well as their family members and Gold Star families.
Go ahead.
And I think that your point, which you raised, which is incredibly accurate, which is 3,000 is a lot in absolute terms. Relative terms, it's not. So we're talking about 2.1 million people. And one of the reasons why It's so important for us to develop these curricula around the programs like the Warrior Path curriculum is because it's critical that we expand the number of places around the country where they're being delivered. And so we had our first conference in June this year around Warrior Path with people from two from Texas, one from Washington State, South Carolina, and Florida and the Great Lakes. And the idea is to find partners who are credible, who are committed to running strong programs and having a good team of people and raising the funds, but it's to be able to train other organizations that we partner with that will actually run PATH programs in their communities. And so it's very possible by the end of next year, we'll also have a program that'll run in Texas. So if you're interested in that, you have an organization that's interested in adopting that curriculum, you're welcome to email me. And my email is just josh@bouldercrestretreat.org. It does not require, a facility. There's facilities all over this country. We have two that really serve as facilities where we can serve families and combat veterans and where we can develop our curricula. But beyond that, you just need a beautiful place and some committed folks. And so I think our vision and our effort and our focus is not simply on serving those who come to our property, but actually using what we understand to transform mental health and to provide services to veterans across the country.
You know what? I'm going to talk to Ken. Your next facility, Black Hills of South Dakota.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Getting off track here. What? So just to clarify again, that this is for when the Warriors themselves come for the first part of Warrior Path, is it just them? Or are they bringing their family as well? Or is the Family Path program a completely separate?
It's a completely separate program. And we've had folks we did an alumni Family Path where we had four Warriors who would come through Warrior Path who came with their families through Family Path. There's no requirement to go through one before you go through the other, but they're different programs. And so this summer we'll have six Family Path programs in both across Virginia and Arizona. And those are 5-day programs that also have, and we're still working on, a 12-month support in terms of how long the training is. But the idea is to run programs independently for individual combat veterans. We do male and female programs. First responders can also take part in those. We do couples programs, we do family programs, and we do caregiver and kind of strokes spouse programs, which are all independent programs.
Josh, do you have a sense of those 3,000? And by the way, I want to say, you know what? If you help one person, that's a good day. 2, 10, 3,000 is a great start. A great start. Congratulations. Do you have a sense of what percentage of those 3,000 so far are military versus first responders?
So the first responder opening is it's relatively new.
Okay.
So I'd say, no more than a handful. We've had a few first responders who aren't combat veterans come through our programs, and we've had a decent number of combat veterans who have come home, become firefighters or police officers who've come, or EMTs, and come through the program. So it's a new opening for us, and I think just like Ed Byers, who was our mm-hmm. kind of a keynote speaker the other night, who was a Navy SEAL and a Medal of Honor recipient, said, those are warriors at home. And it's the critical part, right? They guard the guardians of our country at home. And I think that for us, the recognition of the need and the importance is something that we didn't want to overlook any longer. And so we wanted to open it up.
Josh, time has flown right by. We've got about 2 minutes left. Want to give you some time to just wrap. Obviously, folks can help. Every little bit helps. That Ken, that's what Ken mentioned. He says, look, I'll take a dime. You don't have to give $10 million. So folks can just go to their website and do something to help. What else do our listeners need to hear about Boulder Crest?
Absolutely. And I think there's probably three great ways to help. One is obviously to make a donation if you can at bouldercrestretreat.org. Every dollar counts. Our overhead numbers are very, very low. Ken Falk, I jokingly call him our paid volunteer because he pays to actually volunteer with the organization. Mm-hmm. He runs it and doesn't take any money. And I think that obviously matters a lot because that's the fuel that lets us run our programs. I think the second is if you're interested in supporting us, no matter where you are in the country, we have our two facilities in Virginia and Arizona. If you want to host an event that benefits Boulder Crest, you can go onto our website under the Get Involved section and sign up to host an event. And then the third thing you can do if you're relatively local is volunteer. And you can volunteer through your company. You can volunteer as an individual. Volunteering takes place in the kitchen. It takes place cleaning up, the beautiful facilities we have, painting barns, doing a host of other things in two parts. One is it's critical. I mean, the number of hours, I think it's 13,000 volunteer hours in Virginia. It's critical for us to have volunteer support, but it's also a beautiful way for us to connect those who've served with those who seek to serve those who've served. And I think it's an amazing way to kind of spend a day. The places are beautiful and breathtaking. And I think those are the three ways that folks can help. And I guess the fourth is, if you're a combat veteran, a family member, and you don't have the life you want, you're struggling, then hit us up, right? We're here for you. And if you know somebody who is, let them know about us. And I think you'll find that we're different. We're different. We're combat veteran led, and we have that ethos of the warrior ethos. And our goal, our job is one thing, and that's making sure that you and your family get the chance to live a great life.
Josh, perfect wrap. Thank you so much for your time here. Again, folks, visit bouldercrestretreat.org. You can find out more. Share this podcast with anyone you think that needs to hear it, AmericanWarriorRadio.com. You can also find us on iTunes. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place.